Ars Electronica 2008. A new cultural economy.
So, welcome to everybody. Thanks for coming. As you know, this is the panel to present the winners for Interactive Art category Pre-Ars Electronica 2008. I am here as a member of the jury, and I'm not going to say much beside the other members, which are Joachim Sauter, Andy Cameron, Steven Kovacs, and Tomohi Nimagawa. And we had a great experience, I mean, very intense during the jury. Also, if it's interactive, we still were speaking about what interaction is, what electronic art is, and we try to make a rose. So we are, in a way, very happy about these three prize winners you will see today. They represent three different approach: the beauty, the poetic, the political issue, the live actions. There is a lot. There is music, there is a machine, there is the screening, there is, you know, the beauty, and etc. So I'm not going to say much, because actually today we have, we can see premiere one of the distinction, which is not on show at DOCA, don't ask me why, but it's going to be on show in the new Ars Electronica Museum from January on, for 1 year, so that's good. And then we have a live action from Danica. So we are running short on time, so I just stop, and please welcome the first award of distinction for interactive art is Jeff Lieberman and Dan Paluska for Absolute Quartet.
Thank you, Sonia. Thank you, Ars, and everyone else. I'm Dan, by the way.
That makes me Jeff. Since we don't have a really representation here, we're going to give you kind of an overview of the entire project from the beginning. And before we show you a little brief video, the idea of this project is that any user from anywhere in the world can get on their computer and interact with a machine that is live and performs a musical composition for a public audience. So the idea that anyone, you know, from Miami to Hong Kong can be at home and actually watch their own piece of music be performed in front of a live audience and get that entire feedback cycle going is what we were going for. And we wanted to do that with a pretty special machine. So what you see here is about a week into development, the first prototype of what's called the Absolute Quartet. And the video will show you the entire process. All I want to say before we run it is the method of interaction was designed so that anyone who's an expert in music or knows nothing about music can feel like they were a fundamental part of creating a musical composition. So it's called Quartet because the machine actually contains three different robots that perform this piece, and you become the fourth member of the quartet by entering a musical theme that's about 5 seconds long. And you do that by using your computer keyboard, which you'll see in a second. When you type in your theme, it's echoed in a speaker in the live space. We had this in New York for 3 months, so that everyone that's live can hear what you input. The machine then echoes its version of your theme, and then it begins a 3-minute customized piece of music based on your theme. The first instrument is a 9-piece percussion ensemble that contains a lot of ethnic instruments like a djembe and cajon. The second instrument is a 35-piece custom-tuned wine glass ensemble, like the finger on the wine glass trick. And the final instrument is a 6-meter-wide marimba that is played by launching rubber balls about 8 feet into the air that are precisely aimed at every single marimba key. So before any note is ever played, approximately 1 second before it is played, a ball is launched into the air and you get a visual and auditory connection between the two. There are 42 keys on the marimba and each one has its own individual launching machine, as you can see. Every single note of the melody is based on your input themes. It's very easy to hear. This is a simple example to show how obvious that connection is between the theme and the resulting tune. And as you have this piece performed, it is streamed to you via video through multiple cameras that are all streamed and live cut, and you receive a video of your performance played. Not a lot of scale reference here. It is 6 meters wide. Running the credits, you'll see a side view which gives you a little more view of the inside of the machine and how it plays. We just want to specifically thank Sean and Roberto, who can't be out here but really critically helped this project.
So just a note on the name real quick for the people who don't know the story. This was a commission through the Swedish vodka company, Absolut. They had a call for work that was just machines that are controlled over the internet. And this was one of three proposals that we gave to them, and they accepted this one. So the heart of this machine really is the ballistic marimba, and that is the hook that brings people in. And so much of what interactive art is about connections and people and collaborations. And in order to bring people into your piece, you want a hook for something. And in our case, it's the marimba. It's the launching of these balls. It's something you're not used to seeing every day. It seems maybe slightly magical or poetic or impossible. And so that was also a very large part of our development time. And over the course of our installation over 3 months, we had over 10,000 songs created on this and users from 50 countries. Once again, as Jeff said, it has 42 keys, just about 6 meters long, and that arc is over 2 meters tall. And then there are 9 percussion elements, which are not exactly a drum set, but have a lot of the same elements of a drum set, that a range of sounds, but a little more on the ethnic side. And then the other instrument is the wine glasses. And the wine glasses is the normal finger on the wine glass trick that everyone is used to, except all of these wine glasses are ground down at the bottom. If you look closely at that figure, you'll see on the lowermost glass in the picture, it looks like it's sort of dusted gray a little bit, and there's sort of scratch marks on the bottom of the glasses. And that's, we worked with an artist in the Atlanta area who's a musician, who's a live performer, uses glass as his instrument of choice, and he custom tunes glasses to the normal Western scale. And so he made the set of glasses for us. And then, so there's no water inside them to evaporate and change the tuning. There is a special chemical that we use on the edge to get the vibration effect. And then on the other side is just a picture of one of our early prototypes in Jeff's room that has a single shooter and a single return path and a little early version of our electronic circuitry.
And we're going to keep continue talking about the system and the interaction and collaboration. And through a lot of this, just run some of the sample songs that people have composed and kind of the web video that came to them. So that'll be running in a lot of the background. So you can actually see that in the bottom right now is this live cut of a song that hasn't yet happened. So you'll always hear the input theme by the user, followed by an echoing in the live space, followed by the custom piece of music. Now, the way that this works is that a user from anywhere in the internet contacts, and you can hear this is kind of a weird theme. We had to build a lot of special software to take any theme that someone might put in, whether it's the most out there theme or very, very simple, and always make a kind of a legitimate piece of music, where not only would it relate strongly to their theme, but it would cohere as its own piece, and it wouldn't be either too boring or extremely complicated. So the user inputs a theme, which is sent to Mac Software, which drives the machine locally. And we worked with a lot of different professional composers and ourselves to write what we're calling equation compositions. And what we did here is we wrote a special language that let people write a composition that has no musical notes in it. So they can write the dramatic structure of the piece of music. They're always about 3 minutes long. They can put the dramatic arc in, they can put the harmonic changes and structure in. But instead of writing a note ever, what they write instead is a rule of how to use the input theme from the user. So at any point, they can, for example, use the theme from the third note of the theme up a minor third, always played in D minor at half speed. So there's all these sets of rules where they can write them with standard MIDI, but they all get translated. So when you get an equation composition from a composer, it's totally empty until this theme is plugged into the equation and generates the entire piece of music. So that way we could get the dramatic arc out of what humans have given to music over the last X thousand years, but still depend on the user theme for every single individual note. So those equation compositions right now, there's a little under 20 of them that are plugged into the machine. When the user inputs a theme, it tries to match up with a good fit of what would work in terms of harmonically and density-wise into choosing the proper equation composition. It puts the two together and it generates the actual composition. It's worth mentioning that the physical instrument is actually completely a normal MIDI controllable machine. You can actually hook a normal MIDI keyboard to it and play it just like you would any other thing. And it's the Mac software behind it that drives the whole process.
So, of course, the interesting thing here is we're talking about interactive art. And so there are a variety of interactions going on here with this machine. And there is the online user, there's us, the machine creators, there's an audience online, as well as a live audience, because we have a video feed that's streaming out, and then we have these composers that we've worked with. And so the machine is what enables all of these interactions to take place, and these ways for people to communicate with each other, and it's about this machine being something spectacular that allows these new interactions, connections, and collaborations to happen. One of the interesting things about this diagram is it's even missing another collaboration that we ended up having as a result of creating this machine. So
there's a singer and musician named Sabina Chuba from the Brazilian Girls, which is a group in New York that performs all over the world. We met her in the process of installing this in a gallery space in the Lower East Side in New York City. And she ended up writing a more standard piece for the machine and for herself to perform together. We have a little clip of a music video that she made of the process. You could find the rest of that on YouTube if you're interested in the end. And the thing, we come back to this kind of symbols of interactions. The machine enables all these different sets of interactions, and there's many here, and as we just stated, there's even collaborations we hadn't intended in the beginning. We're not just interested in making machines that people will walk up to, have a little experience with, and leave. What we're mostly interested in is creating machines that enable humans to interact with each other in new ways. So a lot of these interactions between, for example, template composers and online users enable people that have no experience with music or are experts in music to equally share in a musical composition and be part of this force. So what we're interested in as artists is getting at the greater scheme of that. How can we use the technology that exists now to enable humans to interact with other humans in completely new ways?
Another thing that we are pursuing in the future is we're going to open up our software system that's sort of the engine, the brain behind the computer, and release that online with the next showing next year, and allow any computer programmer on the web to suggest improvements, to create newer versions of that software. And if that's something that is significant, you know, we test it out and it seems to work fine, then we'll actually incorporate it into the real machine and make that change. So that's another way that we can create a dialogue between ourselves and other people out there. It's just another example of the way that the physical machine is allowing this connection between people. And also, you know, it's really important for us. We collaborate with each other. We're collaborating with people. It's the idea that there are so many more ideas than we're capable of you know, creating ourselves, and we're interested in, once we've created this machine, allowing it to other people to really use it as a tool as well.
Yeah, we often focus on robotic machines and tangible experiences because we think that those are still very fundamental to humans. You know, we still have this kind of different experience when we walk up to something physical, and it's very basic. And when you hear an acoustic instrument like this that's actually basically the size of an entire room when you come into it, it's an experience that still cannot be recreated in any artificial way. So we want to give people this experience that can only be had with the physical object. We don't want to create physical objects that are just there on their own accord, but they actually enable things that are impossible otherwise. And it's also worth mentioning, in terms of open sourcing this kind of software, we worked on this in the environment of music, but the software is a generalizable concept to any kind of artistic expression, where there are ways that people can write languages to enable people that don't have this background of experience to interact with people that do, and both together create something that neither of them could do on their own. So this is also we're going to run some of the old development. This is the three stages. The launching of this mechanism is by far the technically most challenging part. Through the installation, it fired about 24 million balls over 3 months. If you don't want to be sitting around picking up balls all day, you can miss about 1 in 10,000. And it's shooting, you know, as we said, about 2 meters up, 2 meters back down, and has about a 5 centimeter wide target that it has to hit to play the note. So we spent almost half the development time just working on solving that problem rigidly. This is the final design.
This is one of our early accuracy tests, and so we just put some, is it play automatically?
Or have to click? That should be play.
Okay. Yeah, so you see the little dot that just showed up. So these, we put a little powder on the key, and then you can see the ball. So this will be 10 shots total.
And it's just an interesting side note. You know, one of the things we found out, we had a lot of trouble testing the accuracy because it's such a brief instant of time that the ball contacts the key. And instead of having it lay a mark, sometimes it was the easiest thing to lay a mark everywhere and have it actually remove material. We found this out totally by accident by having balls in the workshop bounce and kind of pick up all the dirt that was everywhere else. This is some of the early electronics. And we can run some of this. This is my living room. Most of the problems in an engineering kind of project like this are not things that you can really look up in a textbook. How do you catch a ball after it bounces and return to the beginning? We would have loved to use something that was a rigid ball, like a plastic or a wood. We ended up testing about 80 different balls and needed to custom make all of these to match the weight, the size, the resilience, which is the amount that it bounces, and the durometer, which is the hardness, because if you get the wrong hardness, it won't play evenly through the scale. So the fact that it was rubber, and rubber balls, you know, when they're together, don't like to roll really smoothly, created a bunch of engineering challenges. And then it's worth getting into this. This is a bunch of different types of testing that we had to do to get this project working.
Before we show the video, I just want to see how we're doing on time, if we want to ask a question. Do we have a couple more minutes for another video, or do you want to go to questions right away? Okay.
This is actually set to go automatically.
It looks like we'll be able to just have something that's like, you know, about this wide, right?
No, no.
So under and off to the side, just barely off, less off to the side than this.
Right? We've put in the auto transition.
Now we have to wait for it.
I think we just need to open it to questions. Is it going to happen?
Yeah, this will start running in a second, but we'd love to, you know, our whole goal as artists is to involve people in collaborations. So we'd like to involve you in feedback as early as possible. So.
Okay, the next video is not transitioning.
But at some point it will come up while we're talking about questions. Just so you know, we ended up working about 16 hours a day on this for 4 months, every single day, with one day off, I believe. The test song before we got all these equation compositions working was Lionel Richie's All Night Long, because that's where we were, all night long. So you'll see the first time we ever actually got it playing. And, you know, we made this machine look extremely polished at the end because we believe that the technology should always play the back seat to the experience, and we don't ever want to focus on it. We just wanted to give people a unique experience. But it's worth seeing a video like this to see how unpolished the process of something like this really is. It's very messy, you go through a bunch of iterations, and that's actually really important. All right, this is the first full playing of Lionel Richie's All Night Long.
We're gonna go to bed early tonight.
Just want to know regarding copyright on the actual compositions that are made. So the user inputs the, you know, the source information, but then who actually owns the compositions after it goes through the process of your software?
It's a good question. They're owned by everyone. Anyone can use them.
They're open.
I have a question. I'm curious about how you chose these three particular instruments, and then what drove you to create an instrument played by balls?
The main focus was the marimba. That was the main visual spectacle that we wanted to give, and it was also this creation of something that's almost miraculous, that people that don't have an experience with robotics especially probably don't think is possible, and it's definitely not possible by a human player. So that was the main focus. Once you have a percussive melodic instrument, it's really nice to balance that with something that can hold chords, because marimbas, every note is going to be very brief. And then percussion is the only instrument of the three that allows us to add dynamics, because the wine glasses are binary on and off. The marimba is always the same height throw unless you want to get into really amazing engineering challenges. So by adding percussion and adding dynamics within percussion, you can give the illusion that all three instruments have dynamics.
Hi, another question. I'm a composer and musician myself, and I was just curious if you were actually interested in any musical results, or is this more of a spectacle that is in the front that stands here? I mean, the musical results are really not very convincing. I mean, you have very little dynamics here, and you can really hear the machine playing. I mean, wouldn't it be just enough making balls jump and entertain people like this without any musical output? I mean,
I think then what we need you to do is write a composition for it, and increase the musical output. And I mean, it's certainly the case that over the course of the 3 months we had some time to develop compositions, but not a lot. The thing about the machine is, in some ways, it's superhuman, and in some ways, it's very subhuman. So it has, you can fire 42 notes at once, but you can't fire one note very fast. And then also, we're talking here about this idea of the interactive composition, which is taking something from the user, placing it in this thing, getting a result. And to say that we hit that right on and everything that comes out of the machine is great would be a total lie, of course, right? It's a process. And this machine is about us learning, it's about the composer's learning, it's about the user's learning, and you know, it's certainly one of our goals, as much as possible, to collaborate with more and more composers and to figure out what it is that are the capabilities of this machine. I think anytime you're a composer, you have to look at the group that you're composing for and really understand that group that you're composing for and figure out how to get something out of them that hasn't been got out of them. So, and I think there are definitely plenty of places in this machine where more can be brought out of it.
Two other quick things. One is that there's always this balance, you know, if you're making a composition that is just to be played by yourself, it can be amazingly well-tuned to get every nuance of what you have to offer out. And by making an instrument that was available to anyone from any background, there were obvious trade-offs in these equation compositions and how they would have to fit in. But the other thing is that we did have several composers who would write these equation compositions, and then they themselves would be surprised when someone put a specific kind of thing in that they hadn't been expecting, and it worked through their piece and gave them new output that they weren't expecting.
I was not complaining about the algorithms that generate, but just about the control of the instruments, you know, the dynamics that you can work with. I mean, if you have identical balls jumping, you always get the same kind of strength.
I absolutely agree.
It's very mechanical.
It is, but you know, just as a balance, a harpsichord is as well. So, you know, depending on the performance and on the writing underneath, there is a lot of possibilities.
So I'm sorry for other questions, but we really ran out of time. So. Thank you.